Thank you, Brother Spencer. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we approach your throne of grace once again, and we just thank you and praise you for your goodness that you pour out upon us. And Lord, we, as we approach your word, we ask that you give us eyes to see, a heart to receive, feet that would be swift to do your will, and hands to serve. We pray that you would give us a submissive spirit, as we seek your face in that which you've called us to do. Lord, we pray that you would help us to acknowledge you as Lord over every area of our life, as well as every event that goes on around our lives, and all, even the minor details, whatever it might be. Lord, help us to acknowledge your hand at work, even when we do not understand. Help us to walk by faith. We pray that by your Spirit you'd open our eyes tonight, that we could see the truths you have for us, that we might rejoice and praise you all the more when we leave here, that we might be faithful witnesses to your marvelous grace that has changed our lives. Lead us, guide us, magnify your name, for Christ's sake. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. So we have been going through this book. It's a book that's yet been adventured by your pastor as far as preaching through it. If you were reading it on your own, there are times when there's certain areas just about throughout this book you can get depressed, because basically Solomon is saying purposeless, 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 empty, 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 vanity, vanity, vanity. What's the use? Solomon is in search for the purpose of life. And as he's in search for the purpose of life, what we've seen over the first two chapters, we have seen Solomon pursuing that purpose. Is it found in wisdom? Is it found in folly? Is it found in pleasure? Is it found in great accomplishments? Is it found in great gain? And his conclusion so far is vanity of vanity. All is vanity. Empty, 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 empty. So in chapter 3 and verse 1, I want you to notice how this chapter starts out. We'll go a little bit over halfway through this chapter. And verse 1 shows us where Solomon is still looking. He says in verse 1, "To everything there is a season," or a time, "and a time to every purpose under the heaven." So verse 1 automatically shows us Solomon's still seeking in the same way he's been seeking, only looking at things on this side of heaven. And as he looks at things just under the sun or under heaven, meaningless, meaningless, meaningless. Repetition, 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 same thing over and over and over and over again. But his focus is only on that which is under the sun. Back in 1959, some of you would remember that, some of you might remember that, there was a song written by a man named Pete Seeger. Pete Seeger wrote a song. The title of it was "Turn, Turn, Turn." Another title that he gave that song was "To Everything There Is a Season." Though he wrote that in 59, it didn't become popular in a number one hit until 1965. And it's very interesting, this song that he wrote, because it come from the Word of God, and yet it was a secular song on the chart. But a lot of people love the song. The fascinating thing about it, Pete Seeger actually took the words from Ecclesiastes verses 1 through 8, and he wrote this song. All but 6 words of his song comes from this passage of Scripture. And that was from the text of the King James Version. Of course, that's before many other versions had hit the market. It speaks about time. It tells us about time. I have often used the little phrase, time flies when you're having fun, unless you're like the old bullfrog and he sees life in a different perspective, and he says, time's fun when you're having flies. To all of us, it seems as we get older, time's flying, whether we're having fun or not. To younger people, time ain't flying by fast enough. But yet, time moves on. It seems like, I remember when I was young, time's going so slow. I wish I could hurry and get out of school. Out of school, boy, I wish I was back in school. But you notice how when you get older, it seems like, man, time flies. It's going by quick. And where did time go? Time does not ever slow down. But time never hurries neither. Time is no respecter of persons. We all have the same amount of time in a day. It's Chuck Swindoll that basically said, I don't know if he computed this out right, I didn't check his math, but he says, we all have 86,400 seconds in a day. You got that, I got that. That equals out to 1,440 minutes a day. You have the same amount of minutes as I got the same amount of minutes. That equals, of course, 24 hours in a day. You don't have more than I do, I don't have more than you do. We all have the same amount of time. Time is what is often called the great equalizer. It's no respecter of persons. It marches on. We see friends and loved ones at times pass away, and yet time moves on. What Solomon sees, he sees what life is like under the sun. And as he's taking that in, he's saying that for every season, everything, there's a season. There's a particular time for every purpose under the sun. He goes through verses 1 through 8, and he contrasts 7 different things. I find it very fascinating because he covers all aspects of experiences in life. And I want you to notice what he starts with. He starts with life itself. The Word of God in verse 2 says, there is a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. Because there is a time to be born and a time to die, it shows us we are not in control of our lives. How many of y'all chose to be born at a certain time in this world? Not married one. Jordy and Kaylin, I used a little slang there. You're supposed to be giggling and talking to each other. None of us have chosen when we would be born into this world. But yet we use the phrase, have you ever noticed it, when a mom is in labor, there are people in the waiting room. Well, he or she, whichever gender it is, he or she will come when they're ready. You ever heard that saying? That's not true. They don't know when they're ready. You see, there is a time to be born. And that's on God's schedule. And there is a time to die. That's God's schedule. Some people think they can control their schedule as far as leaving this world by committing suicide, but yet I've known people who have attempted that and only damaged their physical lives. They couldn't do it. Man is not in control. It's God who has the divine appointments. We are born on God's timetable, and we will pass from this life on God's timetable. I want you to notice over in Psalm 139, the 139th Psalm. We made reference to this Psalm this morning, but looking at it a little bit different few verses. In Psalm 139, down in verse 13, the psalmist says that you have possessed my reins, you have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes did see my substance. You saw all that I was, yet being imperfect. And in your book all my members were written, which in countenance or continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. God has made us such as we are. Sin has flawed us. Such has been passed down from man. And sometimes sin has flawed us from by our choices that we make, the decisions. There's another passage of scripture from this morning I mentioned, and it was in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And it says, for we are his workmanship. The same word is poetry. We are God's poetry. We are his workmanship, created unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, the good works that we do, God has already ordained those. God has set the time. God has set the date. God has set good works that we do. It shows you how God is sovereign, and God has appointed the times and the seasons in our life and in eternity. Very interesting as we see this passage of scripture. Solomon saying there's a time to be born, a time to die. And after that he goes into the agricultural scene. He says there's a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. In other words, what Solomon is saying, there is an order. Even in creation, or in agriculture, in farming, or planting, or if you've got a garden, you got to do it in a certain order or a certain way. You cannot reverse the order or the timing. Listen to what it says over in the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah, the 28th chapter, Isaiah 28, and down in verse 24. Does not the plowman plow all day to sow? Does he open and break the clods of his ground? When he has made plain the face thereof, does he not cast abroad the fitches and scatter the cumin and cast in the principal wheat and the appointed barley and the rye in their place? For his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cartwheel turned about upon the cumin, but the fitches are beaten out with a staff and the cumin with a rod. Bread corn is bruised because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. This also comes forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. We do not sow seed in the winter. as far as trying to get a good crop. You do not sow seed and then plow. That would be ridiculous. You got to break up the hard and fallow ground and then sow the seed. You do not go to reap the harvest before you plant the seed. There is an order to everything. Here's what Solomon is saying. There's a time to plant, there's a time to pluck up that which is planted. You can't reverse the order or the timing. You see, life is full of ups and downs. We all have highs and lows. We all go through experiences in life, sometimes heartbreak, and sometimes very great times of rejoicing. What Solomon is saying, nothing changes. For everything, there is a time and a season. Solomon describes the activities in life, but he doesn't make any remark about them. He just throws it out there, and he throws out a contrast to those activities in life. He doesn't say whether they're good or bad. He doesn't evaluate about them, or he doesn't go in depth with it. All he simply is saying, nothing changes. Technology changes. Architect might change. But basically with your life, my life, lives that have gone on before us, nothing changes. The more things change, the more we see they really stay the same. There's nothing new under the sun, Solomon goes on to say. This past Friday, I think it was Friday a week ago, I think I shared with y'all Wednesday night about my little dilemma I got myself in as far as when I went to the refrigerator that morning and pushed the water thing dispenser to the refrigerator and no water. Lights lit up. Well, that don't mean nothing to me. I pushed for the ice. No ice. Lights lit up. I'm like, okay. So it says change filter, change air filter, change water filter. I mean, it's kind of like all the filters go out at one time. And I'm not going to give you any water or any ice until you change my filters. This is basically what the refrigerator is saying. So I went to my bedroom, turned on the light, and we had these canned lights where you literally got to be an electrician, take them apart to rewire them, put them back together, and one of them's out. The first one is right over my head as I walk in my bedroom. I'm going, oh, great. So I take the canister out, take pictures of it, see, make sure I get the right thing, because you ever go to the store to get something and you're not sure if it's this one or that size or this size. It could be that size or the canister could be that size. I've made that mistake. So I made sure I followed up my tracks real good. Get in the car, get the filter size for my refrigerators, and all my dashboard lights light up. My dashboard lights are still lit up, every one of them. So I need to inflate my tires, my engine's going out, you name it, I've got a problem as far as what my dashboard lights say. I'm thinking to myself, I don't get frustrated at this, I don't, it doesn't faze me at all, it doesn't seem like, for some reason, God gave grace, and I thought of the song that I think his name is Blessing Offer sings. He sings a song, I know there's going to be brighter days. You know, as I thought about that song, I know things are going to get better as far as all this kind of stuff, you know, boom, 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 boom. I was driving very careful so I didn't get in a wreck on the way to the store. You know, I realized that probably is in my path also. But you know what? It's not necessarily true that there's going to be brighter days in this world under the sun. We're not guaranteed that. You will find charismatic preachers, Pentecostal preachers, will tell you this. But that's no guarantee from the Word of God. We heard in the conference this past week that God is no debtor to any one of us. God is God. And nevertheless, God gave grace for that day, and I'm thankful. My refrigerator's working, for those of y'all who want to know. That chases a rabbit, but my light's working. I got that done right. That's good. But my car's still on the blank, but I ain't worried about it. In other words, there's going to always be problems in life. There are always going to be ups and downs in life. Here's what Solomon is saying. There are seasons, there are times, and things are going to be good sometimes. Things are going to be bad sometimes. Things are going to be good. Things are going to be bad. It's going to happen that way. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. In a pastor's life, you often experience that in the same day. A child is born, and someone you know has passed from this life, or maybe a church member's passed. So there's time for laughing. There's time for crying. That's the way life is. It seems like nothing changes. So what Solomon goes on to say, and we'll read these verses. In verse 3, he says that there is a time to kill. Now, this does not give you the permission to go commit murder. I believe he's talking about war times. And a time to heal. There's a time to break down, and there's a time to build up. There's a time to weep and a time to mourn. There's a time to dance. There's a time to laugh. I skipped over that. When you weep, there's a time to weep. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to dance. There's a time to cast away stones, and there's a time to gather stones. There's a time to embrace. There is a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to get, there's a time to lose. There's a time to keep and a time to cast away. There's a time to rend. There's a time to rend, that means tear your clothes. There's a time to sew, that means repair your clothes. There's a time to keep silence. And there is a time to speak. You notice the contrast, what Solomon's doing here. There is a time to love and there is a time to hate. There's a time of war. There's a time of peace. So Solomon says in verse 9, what profit has he that works in that wherein he labors? What Solomon does in verses 9 through 15, and that's where we will stop, he basically reinforces what he's already saying in the first 8 verses. But there's a major difference. Because what he does in verse 10, he says, I've seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Verse 9 can go back to chapter 1. If you look back in chapter 1 down in verse 3, he says, what profit hath a man of all his labor which he takes under the sun? But you know, notice the difference there. What profit hath a man of all his labor, all the work that he does, which he has taken under the sun? Verse 9 in chapter 3, it says, what profit hath he that works in that wherein he labors? I've seen the travail which God has given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. God is the one who's given us labor. Look down in verse 13 in chapter 1. He says, I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore work has God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. So now with God in the picture, as Solomon is writing, and he's seeing things that are meaningless, 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 monotony, 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 hamster on a wheel going round and round and round. He says that God has made everything beautiful in his time. God, and only God alone, can make everything beautiful in its time. There's another writer who wrote that God has made everything appropriate in his time. It is God who works all things. in his time. With God in the picture, Solomon sees this, that God works everything appropriately according to his own wisdom and according to his own will. God has made all things good and right, so everything fits appropriately in its place. Only God can do that. I ran across a poem. I've often used the illustration, but I've never seen this poem that I read earlier this week. And I've given the illustration about a tapestry. You know how women can sew and knit, or if you're knitting something, you're knitting a picture on a blanket or whatever it might be. If you look at the back side of it, it looks like, what in the world is that picture? Well, you're looking at the wrong side. You got to look at the other side. If I was knitting it, it wouldn't matter which side you looked at, but you understand what I'm saying. Corrie ten Boom, who was captured by Nazi Germany and very physically abused and saw much inhumane things in her lifetime, she wrote this poem. She said, "My life is a weaving betwixt my God and me. I do not choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Oft times he weaves sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly will God unfold the pattern and explain the reason why. For the dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in a pattern he has planned." You know what? God makes all things beautiful or appropriate in his time. Our problem is when we don't see the appropriateness of it, or the purpose, or the beauty, it's because we're looking at the underside. But God is at work. And the Word of God tells us that he is conforming us into the image of his dear Son. The way God works in your life, the way he works in my life, it's going to be different in some ways. For some, God gives us heartache. And we might not understand why. The loss of a spouse. We don't understand why. But it's all because we're looking at everything under heaven, under the sun. We need to have a more Godward vision. And when we do not understand, you know what? Sometimes God don't give understanding. What has he called us to do? How has God commanded us to walk? By faith. But I want to understand. I want to see. No, God has called his children to walk by faith. The Apostle Paul had reached a point in his life where he says, "Notwithstanding, in whatever state I'm in, therewith I will be content." Can we say that about our lives? Have we walked with the Lord enough to where we understand God is working? I don't understand how he's working, but I'm going to be content because I have faith that he is a good God. And he loves me with an everlasting love, and that love does not change. Though I change and though I goof up and though I have done things that are wrong, God's love is consistent. It's an everlasting love. It's not a love like you and I love. You know what? Our love is flippant at times. "Did you hear what so-and-so said about me?" Oh, good grief. Did you see in your life how you treated the Lord in certain situations? We've got a blind eye to how we do things that might be offensive unto the Lord our God. The Word of God says in verse 11 that God's made all things beautiful in his time, or all things appropriate in his time. And then he goes on to say in the same verse, Also, he hath set the world in their heart. The word world is eternity. God has placed eternity within man's heart. Man's desire is to live more than just under the sun. Isn't that true of all of us? God has given us a desire for more than what is under this sun. What can satisfy you that's under this sun? Nothing really. Because things pass away, things fade, grow older. God's given us the desire to live forever. You see, death come by sin. So God has placed eternity in our hearts, a longing for more than what this world can give. Don't you have a longing for more than just what this world can give? Every child of God should have that longing. God's got something for us. The latter part of that verse, in verse 11, it says, so that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end. Man cannot discover God's work. Man cannot discover God's plan. No man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end. So what should that work within us? If we cannot find out and understand the work that God makes from the beginning to the end, it should give us a longing desire for Him, because He's placed eternity in our hearts. There ought to be a hungering and a thirsting more for Him, and it should drive us to Him. For some, that it does not drive to Him, it drives us to the emptiness of this world and the things that never satisfy, but people will keep seeking to try to satisfy themselves with it, such as, well, I've got to make more money. I've got to have more money. I've got to have a bigger house. I've got to feel good. So I've got to take this certain drug. I've got to do, you see, there's nothing in this world that satisfies like the Lord. Therefore, it ought to drive us to Him. And as we're driven to the Lord, we trust Him, because He's the master planner. He's the one who is at work. Let me ask you, can you doubt the loving hand of God? Can you doubt God, who gave His only begotten Son so we might have eternal life? Can you doubt His love for you? Unfortunately, we in our flesh, we do that sometimes. We question God's love. We question God's plan. We question the tapestry as we're looking at the underside of it. God, what are you doing? Don't we? If I were to come down with cancer, should I question God? There was somebody not too long ago that had cancer, and they said, through this illness, I want to glorify God. I'm sure many Christians have done that. There are some that get struck with something, and they automatically start questioning God. It's not a yielding to God and trusting in His masterful plan. You see, right here, right now, where we are, we're in between time and eternity. We're in time. God's put eternity in our hearts. We who know Christ, we have eternal life, but we haven't entered into the eternal state. We're in between with time and eternity, and they're overlapping. Therefore, we must trust that God is using the details in our lives as we go through life to work out a much grander plan than what we could ever think or imagine. God has made you for Himself. God has made me for Himself. And you know what? You'll never be satisfied until we find our satisfaction in Him. And when you are satisfied with Christ, you're satisfied indeed. Many people have a void in their life simply because they know not Christ. Is your satisfaction in Him? The next three or four verses, I want you to notice in verse 12, it says, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and do good in his life. Solomon is saying, rejoice. Have joy in life. Our problem is a lot of times as we get older, we're letting life pass us by. And we don't see the hand of God at work in the little things in life. You've often heard the saying, stop and smell the roses. I'm telling you, stop and look at them. Look at how God's worked. The little baby this morning, Prince, I'm thinking Titus might be bombed out too. Is he bombed out? Is he crashed? He's wide awake. Okay. Prince slept the whole time. Chris says, he only wakes up to eat. Then he goes back to sleep. What's good? Get some sleep that way. Enjoy life right where you are. Parenting can be exhausting, right? Chandy, you help get up at night, middle of the night? You don't have to answer that. Rejoice because of those times. Even though it might rub against the flesh at times, you know what? There's a beauty in things like that. And as you get older, you know what? They're grown before you know it. Enjoy the little things that God has placed within our lives. Here's what Solomon is saying. I know that there's no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and do good in his life, oh, that we could see God's hand more at work in our lives in the little things and little areas. One of the blessings. I'm going to share a blessing that's just a... This might chase a rabbit a little bit, but not really. In this conference Brother Josh and I went to, there was two ladies. They were constantly cleaning. You saw them ladies constantly cleaning. They were constantly moving things around, going in and out of bathrooms, cleaning bathrooms. Boy, they were just getting it. Well, there was one lady. She had made her own little device. And let me tell you what it is. Sister Cheryl, you better listen. She had a stick. It looked like a mop handle. Didn't have a mop on the end. She had cut a tennis ball, and she put a tennis ball at the end of the pole. She took the tennis ball and went through those floors, kind of like our floors downstairs, and all them skid marks, you know, the black marks that go on the floor when you go running around, and you know what I'm talking about. That little tennis ball, all she did was just take it and it took it right up. I'm going like, man, that is so cool. I can be fascinated with simple things in life. But you know what? That is really neat. It's better than getting on your hands and knees scrubbing the floor, ain't it? Wow. You know what? If we just take time and observe, we'll glorify God all the more. Because he goes on to say in verse 13, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. Notice what he says. It is the gift of God. God has given us the ability to eat and drink. You know what? It's good to fellowship. I love fellowship. I love food and fellowship. I love fellowship and food. Morgan, I love food. Morgan loves food too. We love food, don't we, Morgan? Yes, indeed. I knew you did, because I do too. Here it says, that's a gift of God. Do you rejoice in the little gifts of God every day? It's kind of like what he said back in chapter 2 and verse 24. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? Solomon had it. Boy, you talk about a feast, he could put on a feast. In other words, Solomon says it more than once, this is a gift of God. Are you enjoying the gifts that God has given us? Are you enjoying life as it happens right now? Have you ever wake up and for some reason it's just a bad day? And because of that, you're in a sour mood. Anybody ever wake up in a sour mood? And if you ain't had your coffee or whatever you do in the morning, you're ready to bite somebody's head off first one you see. Well, shame on you. You haven't been biting her head off, have you? You know what? God has gifted us with so many things. And though the United States of America has many problems, you know what? You've been blessed in a lot of ways. And so have I. Here the Word of God says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it, that men should fear before Him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requires that which is past. God's got a plan, and you know what? God's plan's not going to change. You can't thwart God's plan. God's got a plan. All God is saying is very simply, reverence Him. And if you fear the Lord, that is the beginning of wisdom. There's another verse of Scripture, and I'll close with this. In Galatians chapter 4, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, but when the fullness of time had come, the fullness of time, for every thing there is a season and a time. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God's made all things beautiful in His time. If you know not Christ as your Lord and Savior, God has sent Him forth to redeem them that are under the law. You know what? He's taken our burden and placed it upon Himself. He's taken our sins, placed them upon Himself. As we read over in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Very simply, only Christ can give you rest. There are so many people that are struggling in this world, struggling spiritually. And it's a lot because of what spiritual leaders put upon them. Let me tell you, Christ don't put that on you. He's bore our sin and our sorrows. His burden is easy, is what He says. That's good to know, ain't it? We're going to give Him an invitation. If you've never publicly professed Christ, we invite you. Make that public if you've trusted in Christ. If you're not obedient to the Lord, would you make things right? Get things right with Him. Be obedient unto His commands, that He might be all the more glorified. God is making all things beautiful in His time. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word. the life of Solomon, Lord, he strayed, he drifted, and he tried all the things this world had to offer. And he came up empty. And now he warns us by your Spirit guiding him in writing this book. He warns those that follow him not to follow that path. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us to seek your face, to walk with you, to see the blessings you have given unto us in this life, and that we would rejoice in it. We all have different problems in life, some with different handicaps in life. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to rejoice. In spite of adversity or difficulties, that we as your people might be a testimony to your marvelous grace to a lost and dying world who are in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Use us as your people for your glory, for Christ's sake. Amen. Brother Josh is up front here. Brother Spencer will lead us in song, "Take My Life and Let It Be."